And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
The dog days of the fantasy hockey season have arrived, my friends. Brought to you by good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 15, Mailbag Edition. It is Nick Alberga and Jake Hahn with you. What's going on, Jake?
And we're
going
to dust off the mailbag today, Nick. I'm looking forward to that. Get into some bets in the Bet365 segment. As always, this episode brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
We got a little Chris Meany in action today. Looking forward to that. And also On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. First time ever, former NHL netminder Carter Hutton's going to drop by the show here.
Love Hutz. He is honestly one of the best, getting to work with him a little bit over the last year or so. I know you have as well, Nick. So happy to get him on board, part of the crew here. And he's got some sneaky good betting takes. He's given me some winners over the last year or so. So hopefully he can cook us up a couple. Today I got some goalie questions for him as well, goaltending related questions. So looking forward to having Hutz on today.
I was like, Hutz, create a campaign, Connor Hellebuck for Hart Trophy, because by the day, it's becoming more and more real. That guy's on fire for the Winnipeg Jets. Speaking of which, not on fire, the Boston Bruins throughout this season. It's been very, very turbulent. Now they lose Charlie McAvoy, Jake, a big-time loss. But in terms of fantasy hockey, Mason Lowrie, a guy I think right now short-term you want to own because he's taking PP1 duties, right?
I like that look a lot. I was actually looking at him in some deep leagues, even with McAvoy there, as a guy that was maybe going to bleed into some of those power play minutes as well. So I'm totally with you on that. I think you go scoop him up and sort of see where this file goes. Now, Boston's turned it around a little bit here, Nick, a couple of wins. But when you really dig into them, they've given up 40-plus shots in both of those wins. So it's been heavy on Jeremy Swayman. And now with your best defenseman out, I'm not going to say Boston's back or something has changed after some of the drama that unfolded last week. I don't know if you feel differently. Feels like these recent wins for Boston have been more goaltending related than anything.
They're teetering for me, but you beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't care if Braden Point doesn't play in that game due to missing a meeting. I think you have to talk about it. It does raise some eyebrows, and that's good news for Boston. It seems like maybe they're headed in the right direction, but there's no question. Fantasy-wise, I can't remember a season I've been this off or out on the Boston Bruins, Jake.
I'm totally out on them, Nick, to the point where I think they might miss the playoffs legitimately. I know we've talked about that a little bit throughout the course of the season, but it does feel like there's a couple spots there in the East and there's some hungry teams that are playing really well right now. So I'm starting to get concerned. This just isn't the Bruins team that we have come to expect it. When have we ever seen the Bruins give up 40 plus shots in back-to-back games? They did win the games, but that's just not the Bruins that we know, guys.
Poor. I know, Nick, you made your debut on Unscripted with Verk and Demers. Well, we mentioned Frank the Tank was on last week, the previous episode. He went so in on the Bruins and how bad they're going to be for years and how they're going to hit bottom of the barrel. They may make the playoffs this year, but they're going to be bottom of the barrel of the league. And quite honestly, if you look at the team, you really can't argue with them, right, Nick?
I mean, well, the big thing is up the middle, right? The big thing for them, I mean, it's weird. It took a while for them to feel sort of the blowback from losing Krejci and Bergeron up the middle, but it just, they have no depth there. I think the goaltending hasn't been the same, so definitely something to document moving forward here with the Boston Bruins. In terms of injury replacements, Jake, externally when it comes to Charlie McAvoy getting a big-time loss, Lane Hutson has been on fire for the Montreal Canadiens. I would snatch him up in a second in a non-keeper league. Jackson Lacombe with Anaheim has been producing on the back end for the Ducks. And a former Duck and Jamie Drysdale, I love that. He scores in the revenge game against Cutter Gauthier.
Yeah, he's been making some nice plays here recently. That one play he made, not the goal, but there was an assist where he kind of walks the line. He shows that skating ability, and he was always touted as a guy that was going to be great on the power play when he came into the league. Then a really nice vision to send it across to a teammate and end up with that goal. So it's always tricky in Philly, as you know, Nick, right? Torts isn't going to hand the car keys over to any of these kids. You got to earn it, and even sometimes if you're going, he'll bump you back to the second unit and not give you as many minutes. So I think it can be frustrating in a Torts offense for some of these young players, but I do think there's enough there on the file. And I love the Lacombe shout in Anaheim. We've been trying to figure out which of these young defensemen is going to step up and really take over that power play and seeing slight signs of life. I know I've mentioned this a couple times from the Anaheim Ducks in general, Nick. They're not going to make the playoffs, but I think enough that we can maybe find some value in fantasy here in the second half.
Same old story for me when it comes to the Anaheim Ducks. I'm still trying to figure out, like, I'm late at night trying to figure out the Vetrano deferred money contract, but it's going to take a while. I got to locate some accountants. Can I interest you in a scoop and stash of Drew Doughty? We're staying in California, coming off the broken ankle. It sounds like he's going to start skating with the Kings next week and could return around the Four Nations. I think this is pivotal in fantasy hockey. I know it's Drew Doughty. He's still around a 50-point guy, around 15 goals, which I like to see. But it's so hard, Jake, to find defensemen that are long-term looks in fantasy hockey. Could I interest you in Drew Doughty right now?
I just like the term scoop and stash. So you had me right there. That sounds fun. Hooked. A little scoop and stash on Drew Doughty. No, I'm in on this, Nick. I actually have him stashed in a league. I've had him all year, just kind of sitting there waiting on the injured reserve. And you're so right about fantasy defensemen. I mean, it is a wasteland out there trying to find somebody that has any sort of power play time. And I'm struggling with that in a couple leagues as well. So I think Doughty's going to come back, reclaim his role on the first power play. I don't know if you disagree. If you think, you know, they lean more towards a Brant Clark there or something, I think that's Doughty's spot. If he wants it when he's ready and he comes back, I think he gets those first PP minutes again.
It is mighty interesting. Let's say Doughty comes back before the Four Nations and a defenseman goes down. That's a guy with a lot of experience who can play big minutes for you whenever you need them. And I wonder if Drew Doughty could be on that radar. But yeah, I'm down for Drew Doughty. Again, I think it's so hard to find these type of defensemen. I'm not expecting the world. Like, he's a guy I drafted, put on my IR for the majority of the season, just waiting for him to return. Like, he's not going to move heaven and earth for you. He's not going to win you a fantasy title, but I think he could provide the depth you need on the blue line in fantasy hockey sometimes.
And I think the other side to the argument is going to be, well, he's not the youngest guy, and yeah, he's coming off of a long-term injury. Is he really just going to hit the ground running right away? I would say, I think if it's been this long into the season before we're seeing Drew Doughty, I think the Kings have been extra careful with this, and we know that their playoff spot hasn't been in jeopardy. They've had a really nice season here, so they were afforded the chance to kind of wait it out. If they were struggling, maybe they would have rushed Drew Doughty back a little bit earlier than this. So I have to think that he's going to be operating very close to 100%. Maybe it's going to take a couple games, but I'd fire up Drew Doughty, Nick. I think he's going to go right back to his regular role in LA.
I love it. Delivered by Skip, what are your thoughts on Rowenski in the Norris talk? Well, I would direct you to NHL Unscripted with Adnan Virk and Jason Demers, an episode I guested it on where I went on about 15 minutes about Zach Rowenski winning the Norris Trophy. Hell, I think this guy should be involved in the Hart conversation, Jake. He's been that good.
Well, that's because you have the Wierenski ticket, Nick. You're starting the campaign. I respect that. You got to start the campaign. Every piece of content you do, just keep banging the drum for Wierenski. But it's true, and I have to back you on it. I think that he is very much in this conversation right now for the Norris. If I had a vote right now to win the award, I'd have to think long and hard about maybe picking Zach Wierenski. I mean, the numbers he's putting up from the back end, what Columbus is doing as a team, the minutes that he's playing, I think the case is certainly there. And I think we've got a legitimate three-horse race between him, Cale Makar, and Quinn Hughes. I think there's a huge gap after those guys. So you got three guys duking it out, and we still have a lot of season left. I don't see why Wierenski can't win this thing, Nick.
Jake referenced that ticket, plus 10,000 prior to the season. The numbers on Wierenski, 15 goals, 50 points. He's on pace for 28 goals and 93 points. You know, means the big thing for me when looking at Wierenski, you take him off that Columbus roster. Are they even sniffing a playoff spot right now?
No, not at all. He's been phenomenal this season. He logs a ton of ice time. He's among the leaders in high danger shots. Like, for a defenseman, that is extremely impressive. So this Columbus Blue Jackets team, it seems like we talk about them every single time. They're generating offense, and they're going to get healthier here very soon. Boone Jenner is going to be back in the lineup. So he would get my vote. He doesn't have a Nathan MacKinnon or a Mikko Rantanen, you know, on his power play. So he's certainly in the Hart conversation, and he would have my vote today for the Norris.
And without question, the biggest surprise in fantasy hockey, I think we'd all agree, where he's a guy that you're probably taking around 100, but he's crept into the top 20, maybe even top 15, and that's a big story for me. And Jake, I wanted to get to busts, big-time busts. And you know what spurred that ideology in my mind? Tristan Jarry goes on waivers. He's headed to the American Hockey League. Nobody's picking this guy up. 8-8-4, 3.26, 8-8-6. Average draft position going into the year, 148.6. He has not lived up to expectation whatsoever, Jake.
definition of a bust, whether you drafted him in fantasy or you're the Pittsburgh Penguins who gave him that contract, and now you're like, we don't want this guy anywhere near a roster right now, and we're ready to call up Blomqvist and see if he can win games. So, total bust right now, Nick. I mean, I got a couple other goaltenders I could throw at you for busts right now. How about Ilya Sorokin with the New York Islanders? Save percentage barely above 900 for where he was being drafted in fantasy hockey. I would call him a bust. And I think the biggest bust of them all has got to be Alexander Georgiev. Not even on the same team anymore as when you drafted him. Now he's on a Sharks team and he can't even win games with them. So I got to say Georgiev's probably number one on my bust list, because not only did he totally fumble a contract year, which is just so disappointing to see, but he fumbled for a lot of fantasy owners out there as well.
I've got something to admit to you, and I hope you guys don't kick me off the podcast for this. You know when you sprinkle a bit of coin around prior to the year, I did do a bit on Georgiev to to win Invesna.
So Meany, you probably know this as a guy that bets and bets in the future market. That's one of those slips that's sitting in your pending folder that you don't even want to look at. Like it's like just score it a loss for me so I don't have to open my pendings and see that thing sitting in there.
There's no cash out option there on that one, Nick.
No, it's like you got to give us money to leave the slip. That's pretty much what happened there. But you almost sort of forget about Georgiev because he's in San Jose, but you just never know if somebody like Carolina turns around at the deadline, picks this guy up, and imagine he goes on a crazy run. I like those looks, Jake. I would add Roman Josi, who was a top 20 foul heading into the season, now outside the top 100. Elias Pettersson would be on my short list, top 30 going into the year, outside the top 200 right now in terms of production fantasy-wise. And then can I bomb the entire New York Rangers? Yes. Can I call them entire busts? Because they have Chris Kreider, Adam Fox, Shesterkin, Mika Zibanejad. Like, I'm not kidding. There's that many guys who have grossly underplayed where they got drafted in fantasy hockey this season.
Take your pick on a New York Ranger. I had a bunch of them on my short list for this. Steven Stamkos as well, although he did get a few points the other night, so shout out Stammer for that. Maybe we can get him going here in the second half with Nashville. Miro Heiskanen on the back end, major disappointment from a fantasy production side. Noah Dobson as well with the New York Islanders. So a bunch of busts in those early rounds, Nick, that aren't getting it done. You mentioned Elias Pettersson, and I wanted to ask you about this and kind of what's going on here with EP40. We got a mailbag question. Pettersson has one shot in three games, doesn't even have a heartbeat right now. Are you buying these trade rumors, Meany? Like, what are you doing with Elias Pettersson in fantasy right now? Are you hoping that he actually gets traded? And are you buying what's going on or some of these rumors swirling in Vancouver?
Yeah, I'm certainly buying some of the rumors. I don't think the Canucks move on from him. I think if you're trading one of Pettersson or JT Miller, it's probably Miller, right? You want to look long-term with Elias Pettersson. If you're a Pettersson owner, I mean, it's not the time to trade him, that's for sure. You're not going to get the proper return for him. You kind of have to wait this thing out, right? He missed some time. He's back now. He's been back for a week. You hope that he figures this thing out. Vancouver gets a little bit more healthier inside their top six. But, you know, if you're in a shallow league, in a 10-team league, and you're not in a playoff spot, it's time to move on from some of these guys and just kind of stream the wire. Like, Voronikov's a guy that we've been talking about for quite some time. He's still available in leagues. Dylan Holloway for the Blues, he's, you know, among the leaders on the team in points since Jim Montgomery's taken over. So I'd be patient for now. You hope that things get better, but he's not going to return value. Like, rest of the season, he's not a top 30 forward.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. I think he's a lost soul right now. I mean, he's very similar to the Pettersson we saw in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year. Didn't have a heartbeat, and that's concerning when you make $11.6 million per season. So I'm out on that file. Delivered by Skip, Jake, Tippett or Voronkov rest of season? I think I have to go with what I said on Monday's edition of the podcast, where I'm sort of out on Tippett, moving forward with life, and I just love what Voronkov has brought to the table with Columbus. So I'd go with Voronkov with that question.
I'm going to go Tippett here. I'm going to be very stubborn on Owen Tippett, Nick. I feel like I have been all season long. I'm seeing a little bit of life these last couple games. He's starting to fire the puck, so that's what we've come to expect with him. So I'm going to stand with Owen Tippett for a little bit longer and see where this thing goes, but it could be pretty frustrating in that Torts offense to know what you're going to get on a night-to-night basis. Meany, we were talking about disappointing Rangers, and we got a mailbag question. Would you drop Chris Kreider? So get him off your roster. Drop Chris Kreider, pick up Dylan Holloway of the St. Louis Blues, who's been doing some good things over there.
Yeah, these are some of the moves that I'm talking about, right? You're holding on to Chris Kreider. What are you waiting for, right? I mean, he hasn't been healthy. He was a healthy scratch. He's not scoring goals. He's not shooting the puck. And you got a guy in Dylan Holloway who's just got his new life in St. Louis, right? I mean, he's playing with Jordan Kyrou, who's their best sniper. He's got chemistry alongside Braden Schenn. And as I mentioned, you know, he leads the team in points under Jim Montgomery. This is an offensive team that's inside the top 10 since he has taken over. So it's no question I would grab Holloway, and he can help you out in the leagues with hits. He throws his body around. He's not afraid to shoot the puck. So yeah, you have to just move on. You know, Nick, cut the bait, right? It obviously wasn't a good pick. Who saw this coming from the Rangers? They were President's Trophy winners last season. But this is all about fantasy hockey. Sometimes you just have to make those tough decisions, and that's one that I would easily make.
Means, let me ask you this. Can you imagine a world where Chris Kreider is on a roster and Cole Caulfield is not? You don't have to imagine it. It's happening at the Four Nations. It's unbelievable to me. You look at the body of work of Caulfield, what he's put together this year, and Chris Kreider is playing for the U.S. team.
It's remarkable to look at just the 5-5 production. And I know a lot of people want to talk about Cole Caulfield, though he can only score on the power play, but he's right there with Leon Draisaitl. Heading into the week, he had more 5-5 goals than anybody in the NHL. Him and Nick Suzuki have amazing chemistry. So it's very surprising. I think if this team was picked today, a month ago, you would see Cole Caulfield on the team. You'd see Tage Thompson on the team. So I look at Chris Kreider, look at Brock Nelson. Those do seem like puzzling picks at the moment, Jake.
Nick, I got a good one for you here. Listener writes in, is Mira Leinen going to be a starter moving forward? And is he a must-add goalie right now? With the Ullmark injury, are we buying into the Finnish kid in Ottawa?
I like that Skip delivering the goods on today's episode. They paid Linus Ullmark a lot of money, Jake. Okay, when Linus Ullmark comes back, he is the number one goalie. This is a great Cinderella story, but Anton Forsberg is the backup goalie. I don't know if you view it the same way. I think you should be proud. You should be happy if you're a Senators, brain trust executive, that a guy has pulled the slack a bit and rose up and given you steady net mining. But as a long-term option, Jake, I just don't think it's viable, and it's more so because what's behind him in Forsberg and Linus Ullmark. Like, they got their perennial all-star. When he comes back, he's going to be back to being the number one guy.
I think that's exactly it. That being said, I do think you pick him up right now with how Ottawa's playing and how he is playing. I think for the short term, you grab him, but you don't think, okay, my goaltending's fixed all of a sudden, and I'm going to have this guy for fantasy playoffs. If Ullmark does come back, he will be the guy. But I think if he continues on this trend, Mira Leinen, even if Ullmark does come back, he's maybe earned that backup role. And, you know, if Ottawa wants to handle Ullmark carefully when he gets back, maybe you're still getting enough starts to bring back some fantasy value there.
Understandable. And I'm with you on that front. It's so hard to find starts this time of year as well. So if you have that opportunity, I think you have to do so. Give up Batherson to get John Carlson. That's an interesting question as well. Drake Batherson has had an up and down year. I just wonder about Ottawa. Like, it's tough to tout that team because of the ups and downs over the last decade. But I have a feeling they're going to have a strong second half. Like, I like the Sens making the playoffs, guys.
I do as well. I think that they're right there, and I just think they got a little bit of a vibe about them, even with the Ullmark injury. They're finding ways to get goaltending. Meany, what do you think about the Senators in that mess of the Eastern Conference? It feels like it's going to be a new team every week, and the Sens, to me, managed that long road trip quite well, treaded water, and now they're going to get maybe a little bit more of a favorable schedule coming up. So do you like what you're seeing there in Ottawa?
Yeah, I do, and you guys are right. They're a really hard team to figure out. I mean, I think... you know, offensively, they have some star power. And during that long road trip, their lines were juggled up, right? They were, you know, Batherson's on the second, Stutzel's on the second, and then they were having Josh Norris on the first line and the third line. But what I've noticed lately is they've really just went all in, you know, having Batherson alongside Stutzel and alongside Brady Tkachuk. That's really good for Drake Batherson's value. You know what he can bring on the power play. He can throw his body around as well. So I would make that swap. I mean, you know, Carlson's a guy that probably should be owned as well, but if you're playing in a shallower league with only three defense spots, you make that move and you just roll with Drake Batherson. And there's some teams that are certainly trending up in the Eastern Conference, the Blue Jackets, the Canadiens, the Red Wings, but I would imagine, Nick, that the Ottawa Senators are right there. So I would make that swap and go with Drake Batherson because he's got, you know, 30 goal upside.
Yes, he does. And to dovetail, the conversation delivered by Skip, somebody wrote in that they traded Cale Makar for Zach Werenski. You talk about getting value in a trade, both sides. I mean, Werenski's having an unbelievable year, but to get that type of value out of a Werenski, pretty damn good, Jake.
That's what we call a blockbuster in fantasy hockey, mm-hmm. Nick. That's not just, you know, shuffling around depth players at all. You're going big dog hunting with that one. But exactly, that just shows you where Zach Werenski's at right now, that somebody out there is willing to trade Cale Makar for him. I don't know if I would go quite that far. I still think Makar is the guy on the back end when it comes to fantasy hockey, but Werenski's numbers rival him right now. And he's pretty close to a 30-goal pace, guys. I think something to follow, Meany, in the second half here, Zach Werenski chasing 30 goals from the back end.
Yeah, and again, he's a shooter. There's multiple games with double-digit shots, yeah, and 18 shot attempts in one game this season, too. I just think that's a great trade. Like, that's a fantastic win. You know, as much as we're sitting here and we're talking about Zach Werenski being phenomenal and being in the Norris conversation, the Hart conversation, outside of it, to get a guy like Cale Makar, I mean, that is just managing, right? I mean, give yourself a pat on the back for that move. Here's one on my way out. I want to get your thoughts on this one. This is a spicy question. Connor Bedard or Macklin Celebrini the rest of the way? And I look at both of these guys and I see Bedard and I see the points. He's got more points. He's played more games. But I look at Celebrini and I tend to lean with these shooters. He is just, from a point per game standpoint, he has them there. He has just as many scoring chances and high danger chances. You look overall at his 5-on-5 play. He generates more and more points per 60, more shots per 60. He's got a better supporting cast. This is a tough one, guys. I tend to lean with Celebrini because what he can do, there's multiple games, it's 5-6 shots. There's a couple games lately with Bedard where he only has 1 or 0 shots, but this is a spicy question, and Macklin Celebrini has been absolutely phenomenal so far this season, Nick.
It is a polarizing debate on this podcast, but I got to ride with my boy Connor Bedard, who I think is starting to cook big time right now. You mentioned the numbers. They speak for themselves, but he's picking up points left and right, had a 9-game point streak. And I just think the ceiling is a bit higher from a fantasy perspective than a Macklin Celebrini. I know it's a polarizing convo. Celebrini's had a hot start, but you can't forget, like, the sophomore slump is a thing. It is tough to play in this league. I think once Celebrini gets going and he understands the schedule and how long the season is, how grueling it is, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, and that's why I believe in Connor Bedard, Jake, who I think is on the other side of this thing. Not to mention, you look at free agency this summer, I think Chicago is going to be very active, whether it's Mitch Marner, whether it's Mikko Rantanen. You get somebody to ride shotgun potentially with Connor Bedard and actually give him something to work with. I would go with Connor Bedard moving forward.
Interesting points on both sides. I like what you said about the schedule there, Nick, where maybe that wear and tear shows a little bit for somebody that hasn't played this amount of games. I like what Meany said about the shots on goal, but there's been too many 0 or 1s mm-hmm. for Bedard in that column for my liking this year, but I'm seeing too much life from Bedard these last couple of weeks to not go with him. Just a slight lean. I still love what Celebrini's doing in San Jose, but I'm going to break the tie. I'm going to go with Connor Bedard here. I think he's primed for a really nice second half to the season. And we'll see if Celebrini can keep it up because he's been very impressive as a young guy in this league.
I tweeted it out like a month ago. I severely underestimated Macklin Celebrini, not only in the NHL in reality, but in the fantasy hockey world. So the sky's the limit, surely, for that kid so far here with San Jose. It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit connectsontario.ca. As you bring in Carter Hutton, former NHL goalie with the Nation Network. Sometimes he co-hosts Leafs Morning Take with me. What's going on, Huts?
Thanks for having me on, buddy. Excited to be here. Obviously, a little bit of a different setting than our normal show, but obviously excited to jump right into it. The second half is looking good.
Yeah, our friends over at Bet365, my man, have hooked us up. Look at the sign behind me. But I brought you on here for a reason. Talk about some goalies, potentially. But Hellebuck for Hart, man, that's getting louder and louder, isn't it?
I think it has to at this point, right? You're looking at a guy that the amount of games he's played, you know, he might break the record for wins in a single season, right? Obviously held by Braden Holtby and Marty Brodeur at 48. And he's knocking on the door to get to 50, right? He plays a lot of minutes. He demands it. And for him, it's the wear and tear that he manages so well. And we had a chance to interview him the other day. He is so involved in his game, a guy that broke every record that I ever set in college once he came in. So it's been exciting to watch. And I think he is in that conversation for Hart. And I think he is a guy that there's always going to be that black cloud come playoff time. I think he needs to win come playoffs, but at the same sense, he's been dominant all year long.
Hutz, just to follow up on Hellebuck and the Jets here, are you buying into them as a legitimate contender? I think a lot of people still look at them as, okay, good regular season, show me what you can do come playoff time, and we saw it kind of fall apart for them last year. Hellebuck's going to play a ton of games this year, and he's going to be asked to play every playoff game. Do you trust that enough going to the playoffs? Is there maybe another team in that central division that you'd prefer over Winnipeg?
You know, you got to add in the Colorado Avalanche, right? I think with their firepower and what they bring to the table, obviously swapping out goalies, bringing in Mackenzie Blackwood, who's been absolutely lights out, who's, you know, thrown his name into the hat for the Vezina as well, I guess maybe as a runner up. But in the same sense, I think for Hellebuck, there is a little bit of a black cloud. He has to win in the playoffs. And I think for him, the Four Nations Cup is going to be a good growth curve for him, right? He's going to have to play in some meaningful games. He's going to have to be under the spotlight, which I think, you know, again, will add another feather to his cap come playoff time for this Winnipeg Jets team. But there's no easy matchups in the West right now. It is loaded, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Talk about the playoffs, Hutch. Your guy Linus Allmark in Ottawa, banged up right now. I just want to see him out there, plain and simple. But all those teams in the Eastern Conference, there's like a variety of them. Columbus, Ottawa, Montreal, Detroit, Philly, Pittsburgh, the Rangers, the Islanders, the bubble teams. Who do you like? And we could tie this into the conversation about I bet you can make either a team making the playoffs or missing the playoffs.
You know, I guess for me, it's just the health in the Detroit net, too. I like Detroit. I like Cam Talbot, Alex Lyon. They've been in this role before. They've been on the bottom team and forced their way into the playoffs. You know, it's just the fact if Alex Lyon gets healthy here, right? Because I think Ville Husso is not the guy. They've tried it. It might be time we see Sebastian Kosa up from the American League for the Wings. And then the other team on the outside looking in, just for safety's sake, I think I got to go with the New York Rangers with Igor Shesterkin and what they bring. I know they're in a spot where we're not used to seeing them. I don't think anyone suspected this, but I think the Rangers are the team. If I had to, you know, squeeze in there late, I think they're the team to do it. And again, back to Ottawa, we need Linus Allmark healthy to really see where we can gauge this Ottawa team.
I've been struggling to find some futures, guys. Hutz, I don't know if maybe you can help me out a little bit with a cup future. All I've got right now in the bank is Washington Capitals at a pretty decent number, so I'm okay with that. Is there anything you're looking at, any of these teams that you think might bring a little bit of value right now in the futures market? Because I'm having a tough time building the portfolio here, Carter.
You know, it is tough, right? Especially we have so many teams that we don't know if they're buyers, they're sellers. It seems like everybody's still in the hunt. It's been an odd year in that sense, especially in the East. But I guess maybe that long shot team for me would be out of the West would be the Dallas Stars. Not necessarily a long shot, but I think with Sagan out and that cap space that's going to be created is going to really open up some doors for the Dallas Stars. And for them, I guess it's really hard to get a lot of value in these teams, but Colorado and Edmonton, again, those teams in the West are going to be powerhouses. So it's going to be a fun race this year, Jakey.
I'm with you on Dallas, boys. 9-1-1 in the past 11. They got the cap space, as you talked about, from Sagan. I think Evgeny Malkin would be a really, really nice and unique fit there with that team. But I think there's no doubt Jim Neal is going to go big game hunting on that front. I want to bring something to your attention. An angle I like to play quite a bit, Hutz, when it comes to betting in the NHL, is like a response. So Braden Point misses a meeting, doesn't play the other night. Anaheim at Tampa on Thursday. I'm going to play the Tampa puck line in that game, but also the Braden Point point prop.
Yeah, I like that. Coming back, he's going to come back with a purpose, especially the way he missed the game, right? And I've been in this situation many times. And honestly, we chatted about it the other day. I love this play by John Cooper, right? This is accountability at its finest. This is coaching. And I think you're going to get a motivated player coming back into the lineup, probably embarrassed by the way that he missed. So I feel like when he gets back in the lineup, he's going to have an impact. So this is a good hit here. And I think Tampa Bay is one of those teams, especially after that loss to Boston, they're going to come out with vengeance here.
Well, speaking of Boston and speaking of responses, Carter, we saw Boston respond to some media rumors, if we want to call it that. I don't know the validity to them last week, but Marchand comes out, blasts a Boston radio guy, and then they come out and get pretty two good wins against two good teams. But when you dig deeper into them, Jeremy Swayman, 40-plus saves in both games. I'm sure you've been locked in like that throughout the course of your playing career as well. Can we trust that maybe Swayman's back and he can carry this Bruins team to some wins here over the next couple weeks?
Yes, I do believe he will be back. And again, it's missing training camp for me is the big setback, right? This is no matter how hard you train, you prepare for it. Obviously, there was a contract holdout and all the hoopla that came with what Jeremy Swayman ended up getting at $8.25 million a year. Now he's finally back up to speed. And again, his numbers aren't necessarily great, but you got to look in the first half, he had a game where he gave up 8 and a game where he gave up 7. Now those hinder you for the whole year. I've been on that side of it too, where it's really hard to get back, but I like where his game's at. And I think the maturity of Marchand, Pasternak, their leaders in Boston are really going to push this team over the top, because in the Atlantic, nobody wants to finish this on the outside looking in, because I think it's trying to make sure you finish in the right spot in that Atlantic division.
So hot off the press, John Tavares week to week with a lower body injury for the Toronto Maple Leafs. A Sheldon Keefe revenge game, guys, coming up on Thursday night. I'm going to play the Devils money line in that game. I might play some Jack Hughes as well. What do you think of that, Hutz? I always love the revenge look. You know that.
Yeah, I know you do. Honestly, I like the Leafs at home here, especially after three straight losses. I think Joseph Woll brings his game tonight. And I think Jake McCabe getting back into the lineup, hopefully here tonight, I think will be a difference maker. Because that's where I really noticed with this Leafs team, having McCabe out of the lineup, it seems like it's a little, no one's slotted correctly. So this should be a great matchup. But either way, I think it's going to be great. I think Sheldon Keefe's going to come in with Markstrom in the pipes and try to make a statement here. And it's going to be a wild one tonight in Toronto.
The Leafs need to respond, right? Three straight losses. Obviously, you've got a good Devils team coming in. Nick mentions the Sheldon Keefe angle. They have Montreal in Montreal on Saturday night as well, which should be a great game at the Bell Centre on Hockey Night in Canada. So curious to see if they can end the losing streak before then. Hutz, I kind of like the Senators tonight. A very small underdog, almost, or very small favorite, almost a pick 'em against the Washington Capitals. But it comes with a disclaimer. I only want the Sens if we're getting the Finnish kid between the pipes, Mira Linen. I don't know if I trust Forsberg quite as much. Do you like what this kid's doing? Do you think it's sustainable? And how do you feel about that one tonight?
I do like that. I feel like, I don't know if there's sustainability there yet for me, Jake. I got to see more of his game, but there is a factor of playing on emotion, right? We've seen this numerous times with younger goalies. You come in and you play very well, and then you start to drop off a bit. I think Arthur Shiloff's would be a great example of that last year. Comes in the playoffs, he's unbelievable. And now you got to do the wear and tear of a season. I heard you guys talk about it earlier with Bedard being in that sophomore year and you're learning the grind, but right now, when things are going, you got to strike when the iron's hot. And I like him tonight in that game. I think that's a good pickup.
Hutz, any other plays before we let you go that you like tonight or over the weekend?
You know what? I like that Edmonton-Colorado game. I think that is just an exciting game. I think there's going to be fireworks in it. I know both goalies as of late have played very well, but this is one where I just would like to play the over in this one. I just think with McKinnon and McDavid, there's just so many superstars in this game. I think it might be one where they shoot the lights out.
Jake, I believe we've baked together a pretty sexy parlay that includes what the Colorado money line, McDavid and McKinnon over a point and a half here.
It goes hand in hand with what Carter just said, right? He likes the over, so we're going to get some offense hopefully in that game. And why not go with the big boys? Over point and a half, Nathan McKinnon, over point and a half, Connor McDavid, the two big boys on both sides. We'll be teammates at Four Nations as well. And the Colorado money line. I like the Avs to win this game. This is a tough spot for Edmonton. Second half of a back-to-back at altitude. You played in Minnesota the night before. They did save Stuart Skinner for this one, so they're saving their starting goaltender. But I do like the Avs to get it done on the money line, Nick.
Feeling frisky, Hutz. Thank you so much for your time today. Where can people catch your work?
You can catch me on Leafs Morning Take with you, my man, and also on Starting Goalies. So I'm across the Nation Network, Daily Faceoff, and SiriusXM as well. So I'm always around.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary. At Bet365, must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit connectsontario.ca. Means you heard our little prop there. Do you like it or what?
Yeah, I do. How could you not like it over at Bet365? You can take the 2 points for McDavid. You can take the 2 points for McKinnon. Why not add an apple from Mikko Rantanen in there, Cale Makar? Let's get a little greedy here. Why not? Zach Hyman's been fantastic, too. Since he's been back in the lineup, the Oilers are number one in scoring, and they have the second best power play. So no surprise. It was a slow start for Hyman, but I would include him to that parlay, too, Jake. Why not?
Any other spots you're looking at on Thursday, Meany? I kind of like the Kings with Vancouver coming back from a long road trip, and the Kings needing to win here after probably a frustrating loss to Edmonton the other night. So I like the Kings. I think the Rangers are showing some signs of life. Maybe we look to them in Utah tonight as well. Anything you're eyeing up here, Means?
I love the Kings. Yeah, Vancouver's they have so many issues right now. Yeah. So slight favorites, even though they are on the road. I do like Los Angeles. I think you could maybe back some of these teams that are road dogs today, like maybe the Detroit Red Wings. They played great under Todd McClellan. The Montreal Canadiens against the Dallas Stars. You guys talked about the Stars, and I agree with you and Hutton on, you know, a future pick when it comes to Dallas, but they were on a lengthy East Coast road trip. They go back home. They could be down Roope Hintz. The Canadiens are playing pretty good hockey. It's an interesting slate. There are 10 games with a 5.5 total. And the Nashville Predators have the second highest team total on the slate. So that just goes to show how strange this slate really is. But I like these point props, and Bet365 offers them. I know we've talked a lot about the Blue Jackets. Why not? Take that top line. Fantilli's on that top line with Voronikov and Marchenko. You can have Zach Werenski there. Talked about Celebrini, who's inside the top 30 in points per game, inside the top 20 in shots per game. Those are 5 and 5 per 60 numbers. You add him with Eklund, and you're looking at a 5-1 same game parlay for a total that's 6.5, Nick.
I love that. Lots of juice, lots of bite on this podcast today, boys. Excellent job. Once again, make sure to go check out NHL Unscripted with Adnan Virk and Jason Demers. Not because I'm on it. That podcast is just outstanding. They asked me what my favorite movie was, and I said Notting Hill, and they immediately booed me off the podcast. So that's where we stand on that front. Coming up, obviously, next Monday, we got the week 16 waiver wire edition of the podcast. So that'll be a lot of fun as well. For now, enjoy the weekend. Many thanks to producer Bob Bender, for Jay Kahn, Carter Hutton, of course, Chris Meany there. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.